Welcome to the Conservative Thought Hour, where America always comes first.
I'm proud to be an American.
Each week, we bring you captivating guests who will speak on many topics of national interest. We are not interested in telling you what to think or how to think. We have faith that you can do that for yourself. Our interest is to bring you information to help you form your own opinions. As always, the views expressed by our guests are their own and are not necessarily shared by the host or the station you are listening to. Get ready for enlightenment with the Conservative Thought Hour.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
And now, here are your hosts, Carrie Black and Rick Stannard.
Good morning and welcome to the Conservative Thought Hour. We have a great hour ahead with our guest, Justin Goodman. Thanks for being here, Justin.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Yeah, good. I'd like to read just a little bio so that our readers, our listeners know exactly who you are. You're the vice president of advocacy, boy, I can't even talk this morning, and public policy at White Coat Waste Project. For more than a decade, you've led high-profile, successful grassroots campaigns to expose and end wasteful and cruel animal experiments done by tax-funded universities and government agencies. In 2017, you were awarded the 40 Under 40 Award by the American Association of Political Consultants. You've also led successful efforts to pass local, state, and federal laws and policies that reduce and replace wasteful animal tests. Justin's advocacy work is regularly featured in major news outlets, including Fox News, the New York Times, Politico, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, and many, many others. You've co-authored extensive peer-reviewed research on ethical, scientific, and regulatory issues related to animal testing. And you've got your bachelor's and master's degrees at UConn and spent years as an adjunct professor of sociology at Marymount University. Wow, wow. Nice bio, Justin.
Thanks very much. It's funny to hear all that stuff one after another, but it's been a fun ride the last 15 years that I've been doing this, and I'm proud of the progress we've been able to make.
Well, let me ask you, what is the White Coat Waste Project? I'm a little confused about it. So if you can bring us up to speed on what it is and why it is.
Sure. So White Coat Waste Project is a 3 million member taxpayer watchdog group. And specifically, we're focused on defunding about $20 billion a year in wasteful taxpayer-funded animal experiments. I think, you know, a lot of Americans don't realize, you know, they maybe hear about animal testing and they think of cosmetics or something like cosmetics testing or something like that. And the truth is cosmetics testing on animals is basically a thing of the past at this point. Most of the testing that's happening on dogs and cats and other animals in laboratories in the United States is funded by our tax dollars. In fact, about two-thirds of all animal testing in the United States is funded by federal agencies with our tax dollars, primarily agencies like the National Institutes of Health, the Pentagon, and again, other government institutions that are throwing our money away at projects that are unproductive and take money away from other important government programs. If you look at the statistics, and this is when we say wasteful animal testing, here's what, you know, wasteful taxpayer funded animal testing, here's what we mean. The NIH spends alone close to $20 billion a year on animal testing while admitting, and you can find this all over their website, that 95% of drugs that pass animal tests fail in humans because they don't work or are dangerous. That's wasteful. We also know that 85% of the drugs that have been approved by the FDA in the last couple of decades arose solely from research and development that was performed by private industry, not by government labs or university labs receiving taxpayer funding. So again, when we talk about wasteful taxpayer-funded animal experiments, that's what we mean, that taxpayers are being forced to foot the bill for unproductive and what most people consider cruel programs that hurt animals, that waste tax dollars, and are not improving public health. So our mission as an organization, we like to use the acronym FED. We use the Freedom of Information Act, for example, and we work with whistleblowers to find wasteful spending. We then work with members of Congress and the media to expose, that's the E in Fed, to expose the wasteful spending. And then the D is defund. And we work closely with Congress and members on both sides of the aisle to identify these programs that are wasting tax dollars and to cut the funding for them. And that's our mission. And again, we have 3 million members who are enthusiastic supporters of it, and they represent the growing majority of Americans who oppose animal testing and don't want to be forced to pay for it.
Well, is there any such thing as good animal testing?
As far as we're concerned, there's not a good animal test, but you know, while we as an organization oppose taxpayer-funded animal testing, we don't want to ban anything. We simply want to get it off the taxpayers' back. And that's our mission, is if private industry wants to support these things, you know, if the Gates Foundation, which I think has something like $5 billion a year that it spends on medical research, if they want to fund these programs, they're welcome to. But a majority of taxpayers don't want to pay for this. And like any other program that Americans are uncomfortable with supporting, whether it's human fetal tissue research or abortion or programs like that, we shouldn't be forced to pay for programs that involve animal testing that people find ethically and morally repugnant. And that's been the situation for too long. And it just happens to be that these programs that people find ethically or morally repugnant also happen to be incredibly wasteful. Again, we have the government's own statistics, 90-95% failure rates in case of Alzheimer's drugs, for example. The failure rate of animal testing is 99%. We still don't have drugs, obviously, that to prevent or cure Alzheimer's disease, despite billions and billions of taxpayer dollars sunk into animal testing.
I'm not even sure we know exactly what Alzheimer's is.
No, that's exactly right. And we work with experts in Alzheimer's disease, some of the most decorated experts in the world, specifically in the area of Alzheimer's, who are opposed to animal testing because they think that the amount of resources we've dumped into animal testing has really slowed progress down just by leading people down the wrong path and, you know, sinking tax dollars into dead end programs.
All right, so white coat waste, and I'm going to abbreviate that as WCW for everybody. WCW is not really an animal rights group. You're a group founded to save taxpayer funding dollars.
That's exactly right. We are not an animal rights group by any means. We are simply a taxpayer watchdog group that wants to prevent wasteful government spending. We like to say that we unite liberty lovers and animal lovers to come together to work to solve this problem that everyone agrees with needs to be dealt with.
Well, I think, you know, you're speaking to a fairly conservative audience, and I think people's ears will pop up when they hear that your goal is to save tax dollars. You know, from my standpoint, I've got a pacemaker, and pacemakers were tested on animals. So I'm just a little confused as to the efficacy of animal testing in medical research.
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, the pacemaker, you're absolutely right, was developed with, among other things, the use of animals. That was back in the 1960s. And that's an exception, not the rule. When we look at the data, again, these are the statistics from the federal government itself, whether it's the FDA or the NIH. They're constantly lamenting the fact that animal testing is misleading them on, you know, the efficacy of drugs and other treatments. Again, we looked at their own statistics. 95% of drugs that pass animal tests fail in humans because they don't work or they're dangerous. And that represents, for each drug that gets that far, billions of dollars wasted and over a decade of time wasted because they relied on animal testing. You know, and it's not only that these wasteful experiments are being funded by the government. It's also, you know, there's government regulations through the FDA that forces drug makers to test on animals even when they don't want to, even when it's unnecessary, even when it'll waste enormous amounts of time and money. The FDA is constantly forcing drug makers to torment dogs, for example, in experiment in poisoning tests that have become standard because the FDA requires them, even though they're not necessary, to get drugs safely to human beings. They're also, you know, what's different now versus 50 years ago when animal testing was being done for the pacemaker is that there's been enormous developments in medical technology where there are now new methodologies that allow drugs to be tested in, you know, things like organs on a chip, which are the size of a human thumb and can model diseases using human cells, ethically sourced human cells, not fetal tissue or anything like that, and model diseases and then test drugs without touching an animal ever. So, you know, whether it's whether people's concern is for wasteful government spending or red tape that's preventing medical innovation, whether it's for, you know, saving animals or any other reason, moving away from animal testing and preventing wasteful spending on animal testing is a good proposal. And, you know, we like to think, you know, we think of things like the pacemaker and other high profile examples of treatments and drugs that might have been developed using animals at some point. That doesn't mean the animal component was necessary. And a lot of what the government is spending money on is absolutely unnecessary. For example, you know, I'll give you one example. The National Institutes of Health has spent $4.5 million on a grant to Princeton University to study what it would sound like if monkeys said, "Will you marry me?" in English. And they run simulations to sound, see what it would sound like for monkeys to speak English. You have experimenters who are cutting the fingers off human fetuses and implanting them into mice. So these things certainly range from the dopey to the, you know, diabolical to the dangerous. And on the dangerous end of things, we would have an example like the NIH sending tax dollars to the Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China, for coronavirus manipulation experiments that now most experts that I talk to and, you know, the intelligence community believes may have caused the pandemic. So this is about waste, but sometimes that waste can be incredibly dangerous. And we see, you know, throwing money at animal testing in China potentially caused the, you know, COVID-19 pandemic that we have now. So there's just a stunning lack of transparency about how this money is being spent, but also accountability in terms of, are we getting a return on our investment? I would say the answer is no. And are we funding things that run counter to our purpose of improving human health? And in the case of, you know, funding animal testing in Wuhan, China, that manipulated and supercharged coronaviruses, that's, you know, that puts everyone in peril. So reckless spending by the federal government is creating a lot of problems, as it does always, but particularly if we look at the issue of animal testing, we're slowing down medical innovation and we're potentially causing more health problems than we're solving.
Well, I've always wondered about the flow of money through the medical research field. My wife was chief marketing officer for two of the largest medical research laboratories in the Southern Hemisphere. And I would watch these taxpayer-funded scientists develop wonderful technologies and then leave the company and go start a startup or sell their invention to a for-profit pharmaceutical company, and I wondered where the benefit was for the investors, the taxpayers. And I still wonder about that, even here in the U.S.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You have university professors who, listen, there's a lot of issues with the flow of money from the government into colleges and universities where ultimately taxpayers are not seeing the benefits of that, financial or otherwise. I think you see lots of college and university professors spinning off private organizations to capitalize on technologies that were created with tax dollars. That's absolutely happening. You also have between 25 and, some estimates, 40% of these government grants that are sent to college and universities are spent just on overhead. These are to remodel buildings, to keep the lights on, to pay salaries, but not actually being spent on research. They're called indirect costs. So a significant amount of money taxpayers are spending is not even being spent on the research that is supposed to be used for. So in terms, again, when we look at waste, and that's our concern, is we're concerned with waste, which is why we say if this stuff is so important, if this stuff is so promising, let the private sector fund it. Certainly drug companies and biopharmaceutical companies and biotech are well positioned and capable of doing this research. And they have to worry about a return on investment. College and university professors have little incentive to solve the problems that they're looking to study, because once they solve the problem, the grant money is cut off. That ends. And you have some of these projects that have gone on for decades and decades. A couple years ago, we did an investigation of a laboratory at the National Institutes of Health that's been operating for over 20 years, a lab inside the federal government. That what they do is give monkeys brain damage and then scare them with fake snakes and spiders and videotape it. And they've received $50 million for this project that's provided absolutely no benefit for human beings. So this is these are the type of wasteful projects we're talking about. These are the type of things also that private industry would never fund in 100 years, because it provides absolutely no benefit to anybody at all, except the people who are raking in the tax dollars, in this case, NIH employees. This is why, as an organization, we're not opposed, we don't oppose all animal testing. We oppose taxpayer-funded animal testing. And our challenge to the government is to let the private sector fund it. If this stuff is so valuable for humankind, for society, then surely private industry would foot the bill for it if there's money to be made. The truth is that any independent experts who've looked at NIH funding, one, for example, Dr. Michael Bracken at Yale University has done several studies. He even gave a talk at the NIH campus a few years ago, and his estimate is that 87.5% of all biomedical research is wasted. 87.5% of all biomedical research is wasteful. And that's because it's poorly designed. A lot of it is, he identified a problem that things are being done in animals that don't translate to people. So there's enormous, enormous waste in taxpayer-funded biomedical research. And that's the problem we're trying to solve.
Well, taxpayer funding of anything is nothing more than a lot of money chasing an empty space. I mean, you can put forward a grant proposal for just about anything and get funded. And even if it has no value, which you have found often, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is why this is an issue that should concern everyone, particularly conservatives, and it does. We work with folks across, across the political spectrum, but we work with, waste warrior, we call them our waste warriors. We give awards every year, but people like Congressman Matt Gaetz, Brian Mass, Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa, folks who have made a name for themselves by identifying and cutting wasteful spending, and they're some of our greatest champions. There's enormous waste, and you know, if you're concerned with government spending in other areas, then $20 billion a year being spent on unproductive animal testing is an area that you should also be concerned with. And not, I don't mean you in particular, I mean anyone concerned with wasteful government spending. Because, you know, every dollar wasted on, locking monkeys in cages is a dollar not spent on some other program that might actually provide benefits for society.
Well, there was some news recently that you were involved with about Dr. Fauci, one of our favorite topics on this show, and what he's doing with dogs, or what he's funding with dogs. I don't think he's actually doing the research himself, but can you talk to us about that?
Sure, and you know, he actually has done some experiments on dogs in the past in his own division, but yeah, so you know, a lot of people do know now, thank goodness, White Coat Waste Project was the first organization to expose how Anthony Fauci's division at the NIH sent money to Wuhan for those bat coronavirus animal experiments that were so problematic and that might have caused the pandemic. And I'm thinking that, you know, the U.S. government will soon acknowledge that it's likely that is the case. There's a review going on right now, but it's not just Wuhan. Anthony Fauci has a $6 billion, with a B again, billion. Anthony Fauci has a $6 billion budget just for his NIH division alone. And you can imagine if money is going to Wuhan, there's also probably lots of other waste and abuse inside the National Institutes for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, which is the NIH division that Anthony Fauci oversees. We found that he funds extensively. He's funding experiments on animals, painful experiments where they intentionally withhold pain relief. That's happening in his house at the NIH. But he's also been funding wasteful experiments on animals outside of the NIH. And through the Freedom of Information Act, we recently exposed how Fauci's division at the NIH recently contracted for dog testing of an experimental vaccine for a tropical disease called lymphatic filariasis. That's kind of irrelevant to this discussion, though, the particular reason why. But Anthony Fauci sent $424,000 to the University of Georgia for them to buy 28 beagle dogs, to healthy beagle dogs, to inject them with experimental drugs, and then put flies on them to infest them and infect them with a parasite, and then collect their blood for a few months and then kill these dogs. And this is a classic case of Fauci once again not following the science. This drug that they're currently testing in dogs at Fauci's request and expense, taxpayer expense ultimately, has already been tested extensively in animals. The FDA itself has stated recently as last month, that it does not require testing on dogs for human drugs, which this is. And we know, again, we have the data that most of the drugs that are tested in animals are not going to translate to human beings. So again, this is just the most recent example of Anthony Fauci's division at the NIH throwing money away, flushing it down the toilet, and hurting taxpayers and animals in the process.
We were talking about the National Institutes of Health. Do they do anything besides give money away?
Yeah, so that's a great question. The National Institutes of Health has a budget now of about 40 some billion dollars a year. About 80% of that money is shipped out from the NIH to colleges and universities and companies across the country. And we know that the NIH's estimate, and this again, this is the main focus of our group, is that about half of that money, they say 47%, is spent on projects involving animal experiments. Like again, things like human fetal tissue experiments, where they take parts of aborted fetuses and inject and implant them into animals. Projects where they literally stage fights between animals and videotape them in animal fight clubs. That's happening at taxpayer expense. There's a long list of waste and abuse. So 80% of the NIH's $40 billion is going out the door to cover grants and overhead at colleges and universities. And then money is also spent internally at the NIH in its own laboratories. An example I was giving was, these monkey fear factory experiments where they're simply, spending tens of millions of dollars to scare brain-damaged monkeys with fake snakes and spiders. A lot of the money is spent that way. But one problem that we have found, particularly with the NIH and institutions funded by the NIH, is a lack of transparency about how our money is actually being spent. And this was one of the problems that helped lead to the controversy surrounding the NIH's funding of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, is that the intermediary that was getting NIH money and shipping it to Wuhan was not reporting how much money they were shipping there and how much and how that money was being spent. So there's a federal law that says if you get money from the NIH, in any press release or media statement you put out, it has to state clearly how much money you received, how much money you spent on that project, and what it was spent on. And we found that the organization shipping money to Wuhan had not disclosed, either publicly or to the NIH, that the money was being shipped to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Had they done that, we would have known earlier, or could have known earlier, that this reckless spending, this dangerous spending, was taking place right under our noses. But the problem isn't limited just to foreign research. We found in the US, we've done an analysis of Ivy League universities and found that by and large, they are all violating this federal law that requires them to report how they're spending taxpayers' money. So we're working now with Senator Joni Ernst, Republican from Iowa, and Congressman Ralph Norman, Republican from South Carolina, on a bill called the COST Act. That's the Cost Openness and Spending Transparency Act. And this bill would not only extend the spending transparency law across all federal agencies, but it would give the law some teeth. And it says that if you don't disclose how you're spending taxpayers' money, we're going to the government is going to start withholding your funding until you do, because taxpayers have a right to know how their money is being spent. In some cases, Congress can't even determine how taxpayers' money is being spent. So a lot of the work we do at White Coat Waste Project is focused on getting that transparency so we can hold federal agencies accountable for how they're using taxpayers' money.
Well, I, like many people, have sadly become skeptical about science as a whole. We seem to be looking first and foremost, the scientists are looking to increase their budgets, and it doesn't matter what they're spending it on. Actual science be damned. I mean, I know of some people who go count polar bears every year, and they go up and they get grants and they fund a 2-week trip up into the North Pole to count polar bears, and they're always wrong. They haven't got a clue. And all they're doing is getting a 2-week vacation every year.
Yeah, I mean that. Unfortunately, that doesn't surprise me. We see all kinds of stupid projects like that being funded at taxpayer expense. And listen, if those projects might have some value, but there's plenty of nonprofits and private groups that would probably be happy to fund that research, but they don't have to because the government's footing the bill for it.
Oh, listen, I could find out how many polar bears there are just by going and asking the native Inuit people, because they live there 24/7. And they'll tell you how many there are.
That's right. Except the NIH and the National Science Foundation, which might fund the research you're talking about. Basically, they're creating jobs programs for scientists, no matter how stupid their projects are. I mean, I can't tell you how many different animals are being put on treadmills right now with funding from the NSF. Bears on treadmills, shrimp on treadmills, amphibious fish on treadmills. The mind reels, and I love the treadmill because it's such a great metaphor for this government spending. It's, you know, it's a road to nowhere. And we see that all the time across agencies, whether it's the DOD, which was funding shrimp on a treadmill, to the NSF, putting, you know, literally, we exposed an example in South Carolina where they were putting dead turtles on treadmills at taxpayer expense. So the mind reels, you know, about our spending here. But there's also, you know, and this will, you know, if people aren't already upset about what they're hearing, they might be upset by the fact that not only are we funding this type of waste here, we're doing it abroad as well. And we recently did an investigation showing that the NIH shipped about $140 million last year to foreign countries for this type of wasteful animal experimentation that we're talking about. The NIH currently authorizes over 350 laboratories in 50 other countries to get U.S. taxpayer money. And just a few examples of what we are currently funding right now abroad. We are paying over $1 million for fish to be addicted to nicotine and get high on the street drug ecstasy at a university in the United Kingdom. In the South American country of Chile, we've spent nearly $1 million to have mice binge drink in the dark. These are all current examples. They're feeding mice human feces in an experiment in Canada. They're capturing monkeys and getting them drunk at a university in Denmark. And in Nigeria, we're paying $300,000 for researchers to feed pregnant rats high salt diets to see what health effects it has on baby rats. That's how our taxpayers' dollars are being spent by the National Institutes of Health. These are the projects that they think have value. This is why we need more accountability about how money is being spent, because left to their own devices, our National Institutes of Health is sending money to Wuhan, China for experiments that might have caused the pandemic. They're shipping money to Denmark to get monkeys drunk. They're funding fetal tissue experiments on animals that would horrify anyone, pro-choice, pro-life, or otherwise. And we're torturing dogs in experiments that are completely unnecessary. And this, again, this is an issue that if you're concerned with government spending, you're concerned with foreign aid, you're concerned with life issues. White Coat Waste Project is taking all these issues on, and we're a home that people can come to and feel confident that we're representing their values of smaller government, getting rid of waste. There's, you know, again, we like to say we're uniting liberty lovers and animal lovers. This is something that everyone should be concerned with, regardless of their, you know, their political persuasion.
Well, I have to tell you, when I hear that we send money to foreign countries for wasteful projects that we might as well waste here, it makes my blood boil. But it really, really upsets me that we send money to China, but it's not our money. We borrow that money from China. We owe China about $5 trillion. What are we doing sending them money in grants?
That's exactly right. We're at, you know, even beyond the Wuhan Institute of Virology, where the COVID pandemic controversy is kind of centered on, there's another 31 laboratories in China and Russia that the are currently authorized to receive money from the NIH. These are facilities that the NIH has looked at and said, we are actively giving you approval to receive taxpayers' money, even though we have absolutely no oversight of how that money is being spent, what's being done with it. There's no inspection process that takes place. These checks just get sent over, and on the honor system, we're expecting them to follow our rules, to do what they said they're going to do with the money. And it's simply outrageous. And there's, you know, a lack of transparency and accountability here in the U.S., but that problem is obviously magnified overseas, where you have no one on the ground to see how to see what's happening with our money. And that's how you end up with a situation in Wuhan, where for about 5 years, our tax dollars were being spent over there on experiments where they were going into the caves in southern China, capturing coronavirus-infected bats, bringing them back to the laboratory, isolating those viruses, supercharging them so that they're intentionally supercharging those viruses to make them more deadly and more transmissible to human beings, injecting them into animals in these deadly gain-of-function experiments that everyone's talking about now. And that's the crux of the lab leak theory of the COVID pandemic, is that U.S. tax dollars were paying for coronaviruses to be supercharged in a Chinese laboratory, and somehow those viruses, you know, at least one strain of that virus got out, we believe by accident, and started the pandemic. And the more evidence that comes out, the more that it points to the fact that the Wuhan Institute of Virology is the likely epicenter, the cause of this pandemic, because of reckless research that was funded by Anthony Fauci's division at the National Institutes of Health.
Well, there was nothing quite as enraging as watching those conversations between Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci, where Fauci swore up and down that they didn't fund Wuhan, and then that they funded them okay, but it wasn't for gain of function, all of which were lies.
And that's absolutely right. You know, Anthony Fauci, there's a paper trail here. There's a paper trail for what was being funded there. There's extensive records now that we've uncovered through the Freedom of Information Act, and others have as well. I've been doing good work investigatively on this. We know that over $600,000, or nearly potentially more than $600,000, was funneled from the NIH to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. We know because they were putting out published papers that money was being spent to create chimeric, these manipulated coronaviruses, and inject them into animals, and that the results showed that they were making them more dangerous. Now, Anthony Fauci is simply playing word games when he says he wasn't funding gain-of-function research. And I think, you know, to be honest, ultimately the conversation over whether it was gain-of-function or not is kind of secondary. The fact is whatever it was called, we were funding it, and whatever it was called, it likely caused the pandemic.
Well, the saddest thing in all this is we're being told constantly, day by day, by our leaders to follow the science, but the science is so flawed that I don't know what science to follow.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard when you lose trust in the scientific, the federal government institutions, and particularly scientific institutions. As someone who's, you know, been working in this area for the last 15 years to expose this waste and abuse, I mean, I got my start when I was in grad school. There was a guy torturing monkeys at my university, and I found out he'd gotten about $2 million from the federal government, and I start looking into it, and, you know, my mind was blown when I saw not only what was being done with our tax dollars, but the fact that our government would have decided this was a worthy project to begin with. And that's when I really started to get skeptical that this must be the tip of the iceberg. And then you start to dig, And you find all of these horrible programs the government not only is funding, but defending. I mean, to this day, I think Anthony Fauci is still defending the decision to fund the coronavirus experiments at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And just so people understand what this lab is, this is a Chinese Communist Party run bioagent lab that has Chinese military ties. It's been very secretive. They've hidden databases. They've destroyed evidence. They've muzzled researchers who want to talk and about what happened with COVID and COVID origins. And this is the laboratory that we were shipping money to. And this is the laboratory that Anthony Fauci is still defending working with. So, you know, at every turn, I think we have reason to be skeptical of, you know, certainly of scientific institutions in the United States. And that's not to say that they don't have value. But I think we need to be honest with ourselves that they're not going to be right all the time. And they might have ulterior motives in other cases.
Well, we have to understand when we're talking about China, that there is no difference between a Chinese private company or a laboratory and the Communist Party and the Defense Department, the Chinese People's Army. They're all one and the same.
Yes, that's a great point, Rick. And when we look at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, you see that. You see that the staff and faculty are, you know, lots of them have affiliations with both the army, the PLA, and the Wuhan Institute of Virology and other state institutions. They put in a military bioweapons expert to run the Wuhan Institute of Virology after all this controversy broke out. So again, this is why it's so problematic to send our tax dollars to a foreign adversary and expect some kind of good outcome when all of the available information suggests that that's not going to be how things pan out. And we shouldn't expect it, but there's just a level of naivete that is astonishing.
Well, when you consider the amount of intellectual property that China has stolen and continues to steal, I don't know how you would ever want to do business in that country.
And again, let's just remember the NIH authorizes currently, actively, dozens of labs in China to receive U.S. tax dollars. And, you know, I think in terms of foreign funding for wasteful and potentially dangerous animal experimentation, the Wuhan Institute of Virology is the poster child, but also the tip of the iceberg when we look at all of this other wasteful spending going on with U.S. tax dollars abroad. We have a lot of reasons to be concerned about where else our money is going. How it's being spent and whether it's in our best interest or not. And I think a lot of people would argue with simply sending our money abroad in the first place is not in our best interest, never mind through how it's being spent.
Yeah. Well, it's not our money anymore. We don't have any money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Yeah. So what are some of your current campaigns that are still in process that you haven't had a result on yet?
So we're still working to make sure that no tax dollars can go to the Wuhan lab again, and we've had some remarkable progress there. The House of Representatives for FY 22, so for next year, the House of Representatives voted to defund the Wuhan Institute of Virology and prevent tax funding from going there. We'll see what happens in the Senate. But the Senate, with our friend Joni Ernst, we were able to work and get legislation passed through the Senate to permanently prohibit the Wuhan Institute of Virology from receiving tax dollars. That measure has to go on to the House. But there's been some exciting progress there. We've recently launched a campaign on the NIH foreign aid issue and the funding of animal experiments abroad more generally. We just worked with a group of 14 GOP House members led by Congressman Fred Keller from Pennsylvania demanding some answers from the NIH about its animal testing overseas and funding for that. We're working on passing the COST Act, that spending transparency bill. We're continuing to work on defunding animal experiments using human fetal tissue. Under the Trump administration, there was some great progress made to cut and restrict funding for those types of experiments, but those restrictions have been reversed by the Biden administration. So we're closely monitoring that to see where the spending goes and the funding is going in terms of fetal tissue research involving animal experimentation.
I have some thoughts about replacing human fetal tissue with maybe some of our representatives' tissue. You know, if they want to implant human tissue into an animal, let them volunteer their own.
That's right, ethically sourced. That's exactly right. There's many scientists who acknowledge that there's alternatives to using human fetal tissue, whether it's your particular proposal there or otherwise. It is unnecessary. And then we're working to eliminate the FDA's mandate that drug companies test on dogs and other animals, allow them the freedom to use other technologies when they want to, so they're not hamstrung by relying on methods that are wasteful and outdated. And then our most recent development and our most recent campaign that we just launched last week is this Fauci dog testing campaign, where we exposed how they're funding those unnecessary tests on beagles who are being killed over at the University of Georgia with the NIH's money through Fauci's division at the agency. And we have a new website up called dogsagainstfauci.org, where people can sign up for our campaign, send a letter to Congress, and then keep abreast of what the progress is there on that campaign and others. So a lot of exciting efforts to hold government accountable and create transparency and improve accountability about how our money is being spent.
Well, I'll tell you what, you've started to touch on the topic. We have about 3 minutes left. Can you tell us what our listeners can do to get involved to help further your goals?
Absolutely. So yeah, again, for the most recent campaign where Fauci's team is funding horrible experiments on dogs, you can visit dogsagainstfauci.org and get involved in that campaign. And through that, you'll join our mailing list and hear about the other work we're doing. I also encourage people, and hope they will, follow us on social media at White Coat Waste. And people can visit us on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, and on YouTube, where you can watch videos about our campaigns, our TV appearances. For example, I was on Fox News primetime the other night talking about the Fauci dog testing issue. I was on Fox and Friends a few weeks ago with Senator Joni Ernst talking about taxpayer funding for the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So at whitecoatwaste.org on social media platforms. And then for the most up-to-date and regular news about our efforts, you can visit blog.whitecoatwaste.org, and that's our news blog, where we're constantly posting updates about all of these campaigns and what people can do to get involved.
Well, I have to pre-warn everyone that when you go to White Coat Waste websites or material, you may see some very confronting pictures. So, take all of that into consideration. But I think we need to be shocked to movement sometimes. And I'm hoping you can do that for our listeners.
I'm optimistic that once folks start reading for themselves what's being done with their tax dollars to animals in laboratories, that they'll be motivated to get involved. It's how we got our very diverse and strong base of 3 million taxpayer advocates across the country who joined the fight There is obviously some graphic imagery that people might see, but generally we do try to steer away from that and lean more towards cartoons and other imagery that can convey the urgency and the problem without upsetting people, because we don't want to turn people off. We are very concerned about that, because some of this stuff is nasty. To describe it as nasty, to see it is even worse. And we don't want people to be off-put to the point where they don't get involved. So it's pretty easy to navigate away from those type of images on our site. If you go to our website, you'll see it's pretty cartoon heavy as well. But again, whitecoatwaste.org, at whitecoatwaste on social media, and there'll be plenty of opportunities for you to get involved, whether it's joining a campaign, writing your members of Congress, signing a petition, or otherwise.
All right. Well, thank you for your time today, Justin. And what a great hour it has been.
Thank you for listening to the Conservative Thought Hour. Remember what Albert Einstein said. The world is a very dangerous place, not because of the evil men in it, but because of the good men who do nothing.